This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, we'll discuss President Trump building bipartisan support for DACA, for border security, for tax reform, and even some Comey news in North Korea. We'll discuss it with you today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
A lot of people want this to happen. They expect it to happen, and we'll see if it happens. But we'll only do it if we get extreme security, if we get not only surveillance, but everything that goes along with surveillance. And ultimately, we have to have the wall. If we don't have the wall, we're doing nothing.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Well, we want to get massive border security, and I think that both Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, I think they agree with it, but... So we met last night with, as you know, Schumer, Pelosi, and a whole group. And I think we're fairly close, but we have to get massive border security. We all feel, look, 92% of the people agree on DACA. But what we want is we want very, very powerful border security.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We want to have a discussion today, so give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. As the president and vice president tour the hurricane-ravaged Florida cities today. There was big news yesterday out of President Trump's meeting with congressional leaders, specifically those congressional leaders on the other side of the aisle, Democrat leaders Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. There was discussion. The White House has made clear, by the way, hey, we didn't make any agreements. And it'd be impossible for the president to do that because it's got to work through a Republican-led Congress. But what we do see is this kind of couple of issues coming to the forefront. And by the way, folks, in my opinion, this is Jordan Seculo's opinion, this is what you got when you voted for a President Trump. He first went to Republican leaders on issues like Obamacare, and they failed him. And what did he tell you throughout the campaign? I'm going to make deals. I want to get things done for the American people. I'll work with anyone willing to make those deals. And I think he understands as a deal maker, listen, you get 70% of what you ask for. So if you go and you say, I want 15% tax cut, corporate tax rate, and you can get it to 18%, that's a win for deal makers. For many in Washington, D.C., it's like yes or no. There's only black or white. And that is why we have no political compromise left. It used to be the norm in Washington. It's no longer the norm. That being said, I want to get your input on this because people have different opinions about it. But is this who you feel you voted for? Somebody who said, you know what? Republican leaders are worthless at this point. They couldn't even repeal Obamacare, the one thing they promised to do. So I've got to start reaching out across the aisle to work with others on issues, not on compromising on our core values, but on issues like getting the tax rates down for the middle class, getting the tax rates down for corporations to help job growth, getting DACA as part of the law, since it's now been rescinded, because the president does support allowing those people to stay, which against goes against the narrative. But by the way, I want border security measurements in exchange for that. And so is there anything wrong with working across the aisle? Now, you have to be cautious working with people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, for sure. But this is a president who has no problem coming right out the morning after and saying, don't let them fool you.
Right.
We had our discussions. We did not come to any agreement. We did not say there was not going to be the wall as part of this. Absolutely not. But I want to get your thoughts on this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Listen, I don't think this is where the president wanted to have to be. If he could do everything through the Republican leaders in the House and Senate who have majorities, I think that's where he would be. He would not be bringing in Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi. The problem is Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, and we work with them on issues where we can, but on the big issues, they have not been able to legislate. All they have done is fail. All they have done is voted no. So at some point, I want to see things get done for our country. I think the president wants to get things done for our country. So long as we're not giving too much away to the other side, who is the minority party, we can make compromises. We can get tax reform done. We can get, again, DACA and immigration reform done. I mean, imagine that. This will be the president since Ronald Reagan who will get any kind of immigration reform done since 1986. We'll take your calls on it. Logan, tell people how to get involved in the conversation online as well.
That's right. You can find us online broadcasting, Facebook.com/Jay Seculo, on Periscope and Twitter at Jay Seculo Broadcasting, at Jordan Seculo actually today. You can find us broadcasting live there right now, but phone lines are jammed, but they'll open up 1-800-684-3110. Right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
And welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we are talking about the president's meetings yesterday across the aisle with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. I mean, we're talking about a number of issues, but I want to get your thoughts on kind of the bipartisan bridge building going on by President Trump. And this is a time when Hillary Clinton, you know, is hitting the road, still using the same old attacks on Donald Trump and the president. And meanwhile, he's actually working with her former colleagues in the Democrats to try and get things done for the American people. And by the way, when he says for the American people, it's people who voted for him, didn't vote for him. I mean, you know, these tax cuts are blind as to who they're going to, and he wants to focus in on the middle class. He wants to focus in on corporate tax cuts as well, so that we're competitive as a country and that we can bring money that's stuck overseas because of those tax rates, that are American companies that keep the money outside of the United States so it can't be reinvested into our economy. And they keep it outside the United States so that they don't have to pay our extremely high rates. So if they make that money in China or they make that money in any country around the world, if we lower our tax rates, they can bring that money back in, pay the same tax they'd be paying in a country where they may have it now. Even many European countries are better for them to keep their taxes, their money in. And they would be able to then reinvest right here in the United States of America. But I want to get people's thoughts on this, Logan. I think that some on talk radio and some conservatives, they're very upset. They don't want any meetings with Nancy Pelosi or any meetings with Chuck Schumer. Yeah. Let me say this.
You know, it works.
The president wouldn't have to be meeting with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi if Paul Ryan or Mitch McConnell were capable of doing their job. Thane Bennett is joining us too, but I want to take a phone call first, then get his thoughts.
Let's go to Jennifer on line one. You're on the air in California.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, I wanted to make the comment. I am very grateful that Trump is offering leadership in the attempt to issue bipartisan support, because I know he is interested in cutting taxes for all people, and the issue of the border wall is all about security for our nation, and I voted for him for that reason.
Well, and he said very clearly this morning, it may not be part of this deal, but we're still doing the border wall. We're actually already starting to build that. We're already using funds available to put resources into increasing the wall where they exist, fencing turning into wall. Let me go to Thane Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Thane, I know many, I'm not saying Republicans in the sense of of people out there who are listeners who may be aligned with the Republican Party or members of the Republican Party or vote Republican more often than not, but Republicans on Capitol Hill, they seem to be a little put off to some extent by the president's move here to meet with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. But I put all the blame on them. I think if they repealed Obamacare, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi wouldn't have been sitting in the Oval Office last night.
Yeah, I think on a broad level, Jordan, you're exactly right. They don't have anybody to blame but themselves because the president never hid the ball on this. He said, if I do not get results working through my party, I will talk to the other party. And that's exactly what's happening right now. I think if the GOP is upset about those conversations, they have it within their own power to fix it. They control both chambers, and they could start sending him bills. And, Jordan, just specifically on the DACA question, I have said many times on this broadcast, and you've said similar things, the conversation about what to do with those illegally present would take about 5 minutes in Washington, D.C. if there was confidence that the border was secure. And by the way, I'm talking about a majority of Republicans, too. That would be a very short conversation. Yeah. So what the president said today about, I'm going to make sure in this package I also secure the border to make sure that it does not attract another wave of illegal immigrants, he was stating what is the majority position of both parties here in Washington, D.C. So at the end of the day, if he can achieve that, I think you're going to see a majority in both parties satisfied with it.
Yeah, I mean, let's take a listen to all those who have said, oh, he's giving up the wall. Take a listen to Byte 39. This is President Trump, I think, being very – was this today? Today in Florida while he's touring Florida in the devastation there. Take a listen. Doesn't sound like he's getting off the wall to me.
We have to have an understanding that whether it's in the budget or some other vehicle, in a fairly short period of time, the wall will be funded. Otherwise, we're not doing anything.
So understand what Than just said. Understand what the president just said. And Than, you said, you know, without border security, the president said, without this wall, we're not doing anything. So he'll compromise to an extent, but he's already set up his parameters for how far he'll go in compromising, and he's not going to compromise on our border security.
Well, and if real border security is achieved, I can tell you that the vast majority of the Republican conference is going to be with him on the question of DACA and the others illegally present. It's just a matter of fact. But that border security, Jordan, that would be the first in decades that would be achieved. And I just say this to, you know, we're calling them Chuck and Nancy now, I guess. If Chuck and Nancy are going to not agree to a solution on DACA over accurately securing the borders, that will reveal just how extreme their position might be on this. And by the way, I think they will cooperate. I think they will go along. But if they have a fascination with an open border to the extent that they're not going to go along with the solution to those illegally present, that in itself would be very telling.
Yeah, absolutely. Logan, I want to take more comments. I mean, that's the point. We want to have a discussion here, folks. And let me tell you something right just off the bat. You don't have to agree with us here. This is not a contested. This is more about just thinking through as people who I think where most of us are like-minded. I mean, if you're a total opponent of tax reform, okay, and a total opponent of border security, a total opponent of these issues, I get that. But I'm talking really amongst ourselves here, talking to the choir a bit, if you will.
Right.
Because I want to get your sense of how you see this. Is this the president you voted for? I mean, to me, this is who Donald Trump said he was going to be. And he made it very clear that if he would start with Republicans, and he did, and they failed on Obamacare, the easiest thing to repeal, you'd think, for them, because they all pledged to do it. So I think that that sent a signal to him that, okay, if you're going to fail on Obamacare, you're not going to be able to do anything on taxes, you're not going to be able to do anything on border security or immigration, so I've got to start building a new coalition in Congress. And Than, real quickly, that coalition exists. You may lose some of the most conservative and the most liberal, but there is a big group in the middle. And in the middle, I use, not to say moderate, by the way, but from conservative to, I'd say, left-leaning centrist, you put them together, and that's enough to get the votes.
Yeah, I think we're about to find out. I hope that does exist, Jordan. You would hope that you're getting a handle on who is coming into our country. That should not be a partisan issue, and I hope we will see Democrats come on board. And by the way, if we secure that, most of the concerns with so-called amnesty for those here, those go away, Jordan, because what is the concern about that? The concern is that the same thing will happen as happened in 1986, that it will create a new wave of people behind them crossing illegally. Well, if we have that border secured, that concern is alleviated, and I think you could see a right-left Republican-Democrat coalition go along with that. And honestly, I mean, there were a lot of reports out overnight over what happened with this meeting. But the comments that I heard from the president this morning described exactly that kind of compromise.
All right. Let's take a call, Logan.
Yeah. Trey Vill actually on Twitter and Facebook had a comment. I think this is interesting. He said, perhaps this is one way to motivate and provoke the Republicans to do what they should have been doing. This is why they were voted in the first place. And then Chris followed up with that and said, I'm sorry, but if Democrats can't be trusted, Republicans refuse to work, then our government seems worthless at this point. I have no faith that anything will get done.
Well, I think that's why the president's taking the leadership role. It's not to put it all on Democrats, not to put it all on Republicans. He tried it with Republicans. I mean, he's a Republican president. And so he allowed Republicans to move forward in what was a grueling process on Obamacare repeal, which should have been so easy. And to me, I'm still upset about that, by the way, folks. It still angers me so much that the Republican leaders so much at those who voted not to repeal Obamacare, who did before and ran on repeal. I don't think we should ever forget that politically when they ever put their name on a ballot again. But that being said, we got to govern the country as well. And to govern the country as president means that, yes, you want to work with your party. And if you had an effective party leadership, that's wonderful. Guess what? This president doesn't so far. But as the comment said, maybe this scares the Paul Ryans and the Mitch McConnells enough to say, okay, we got the deal maker here, and he's going to quickly make us irrelevant if we don't start putting legislation on his desk. And that's ultimately what this president is about, getting things done. He's not willing to govern like Barack Obama. He's not willing to govern by executive order and executive actions because he sees the problems with that. It may fix things for, you know, a year or two or four, but then another president comes along and suddenly you've got a situation like DACA. That's why you got to turn it into law, turn it into legislation. You can't do tax reform. You can't cut taxes, the corporate tax rate, by executive order. You can't institute middle-class tax cuts by executive action and agency rulemaking. And so he's not willing to govern the way that presidents in the past have governed in these we've seen probably in the last 16 years where it's very partisan to the point where it's so partisan that it's that their idea is that, well, if I can't get it done with my party, I'm not even going to discuss it putting together a different coalition. I'm not even going to try putting a different coalition together. Let's go. Do we have time to go back to the phones or take a comment?
Yeah, we can try to take a quick comment. Let me find one very quickly. Actually, no, a lot of the comments we've already gone through. This is from Miriam. She says, Republicans have let us down time and time again. So something has to change.
Okay, so what I'm getting from people is that this pressure being put on Republicans, yeah. You're not angry at the president. You're still angry, like me, at many Republicans who we all helped get elected. As conservatives, for the most part, whether you voted for them, whether you donated to RNC or NRCC and these different campaign apparatuses, and they've just been failing us so far. They have not gotten any legislation to the desk of the president. And so that is what I'm picking up. We're going to continue this discussion. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, to talk to us on the air. We're taking your Facebook and Periscope comments as well. And Logan, tell people, because we keep this conversation going in between the breaks.
Yeah, if you're listening on radio and you don't want to hear commercials, you want it to keep going, you can find us broadcasting during the breaks on Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. We also show exclusive videos from time to time. So again, that's at ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSeculo, broadcasting from Jordan's Twitter today, at Jordan Seculo, SEKULOW. And make sure you're following us on all our social media accounts. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live. No lines are open. Well, they will open up, 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Preview, Will, for tomorrow's show. Do we have that Jim Comey sound? Because we got another sound bite. We're not going to focus on Comey. Comey's thankfully and rightfully back in the news for his wrongdoing. But we found another sound bite. This is when he was testifying before the House under oath. We're going to get into this more tomorrow, but I wanted to tease it out for you. Here again, he gets asked about the decision to on Hillary Clinton, when to decide not to press for, you know, any kind of indictments or criminal prosecution or a grand jury. Take a listen, because he gets asked that direct question about the timeline of when he just made that decision. Take a listen.
Did you make the decision not to recommend criminal charges relating to classified information before or after Hillary Clinton was interviewed by the FBI on July the 2nd?
After.
Okay, now we know that's not true. Okay, so that was, again, under oath for a House committee. And it was in September 28th, 2016, and that was Congressman Ratcliffe from Texas. We're going to get into this more tomorrow, but I want you to understand, Jim Comey said he made that decision after interviewing Hillary Clinton. The Senate Judiciary Committee has now said that they've reviewed documents, and he already had made the decision 3 months before those interviews took place, 3 months before the interviews took place. So that is why we've got Senator Lindsey Graham. We're going to keep the sound for tomorrow, but he's saying he'd be willing to subpoena Jim Comey to have him come back and testify before the Judiciary Committee if he's not willing to do so voluntarily. So I wanted to tease that out for tomorrow, but we're going to get back into the discussion that we wanted to have today about President Trump's bipartisan bridge building and attempts to do so. Again, no deal has been cut yet, but just the I actually like that this is happening right now, because I'm just sick and tired of nothing happening in Washington, D.C. Let's take some phone calls and people's thoughts on this.
Yeah, let's go to Bruce, who's calling in Texas on line six. He's interesting comment.
Hello.
Yep, you're on the air, Bruce.
Hello, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the work that you all do around the world. I don't know for sure what Trump's aims are here, but I can guarantee you that Pelosi and Schumer and all of their cabal are having endless meetings about how they can twist this around to their advantage.
I think you're right. You have to be very cautious.
Of course.
And I think the president
you
is.
You know, saw that in their statement yesterday.
You can listen. They already tried to play it up more than, and the president struck back immediately using his most effective tool, Twitter, which then makes every news story. He's already commented about it today while he's in Florida. We played that bite. So he's very aware of that, Bruce. That being said, remember that it is ultimately Than Republicans who are in charge of moving any of these legislative vehicles forward. So Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer can help bring votes, and they can certainly have some influence, but it's ultimately it will be up to Republicans to actually move legislation forward, because they are the majority party in both houses of Congress.
You can't have a vote in either chamber right now without the majority leaders of the Republican Party scheduling those votes.
So you can't get something pulled on you by Pelosi or Schumer without the Republicans being part of it, and they're not going to be.
Well, and I would just say this. I mean, each deal is still going to have to be evaluated on the merits, of course. I mean, you talk about the tax code. I support lower taxes and a simplified tax code. And if a deal that is struck by any members, the president or members of either party, I'm going to oppose that deal. But here's the thing, Jordan, and I think this is what we have to keep coming back to. There is a very easy way for Republican leadership in both the House and the Senate to be a bigger part of these conversations, and it's to actually deliver on what they campaigned on. The president is trying to do that specifically with Obamacare, and the Republican leadership has failed. Jordan, do you know, I know you know, but I want our listeners to know, at the end of this month, the reconciliation language that was supposed to be used to pass Obamacare, it expires. It's done. It's over. And the Republicans will have failed. What other choice at this point does President Trump have?
And when that fails, then, I mean, it's another year till you could use a vehicle like that, right?
Well, there's going to be another vehicle available under reconciliation, but it's already slotted with instructions for tax reform, Jordan. So unless they want to do away with doing tax reform, it's very unlikely it could be used for Obamacare. So you have to get to 60 votes then to pass an Obamacare repeal.
Which is not happening right now. So I think the president, he let the Republicans try when they only needed 51. They got it through the House. I mean, you can't slam Paul Ryan too much. He was finally able to push that through, I think, with the help of people like Mike Pence. Finally able to get that through, and then the Senate could not do its job. So that blame then falls on people, Senate leadership and Mitch McConnell. So they get what is due theirs, which is the president willing to talk to the other side? I mean, talking. These are all Americans. And they've had tough words on the president. Not like Nancy Pelosi has said things that the president has forgotten about him, or right. or Chuck Schumer. But let's be clear that the country's got, you know, we hit two massive hurricanes. The president's talked about how this tax reform really ties to that recovery. If we can cut back the corporate tax rate and bring more American dollars back from overseas, we can get new jobs, stimulate our economy. Middle class people have more money to spend, to save, to buy homes. That is a good thing for everyone up and down the income brackets, for the poorest to the rich. And again, I think that that is important. We want to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's grab another call.
Let's go to Matt, line one in Pittsburgh. You're on the air, Matt.
Yes, hi, guys. Thanks for all your work. We really appreciate it. I just wanted to say I'm loving every minute of the Trump administration. I voted for leadership, and this is exactly what he's delivering.
So I'm assuming, Matt, that you're kind of, to you, it was not just about, it's a Republican-Democrat thing. That to you, because you're one of those key voters in Pennsylvania that gave that state to President Trump, which was so key to his electoral victory. And there were plenty of people there who may not have been. You may be a regular Republican voter. You might not be. But, Matt, I'm guessing that this is what attracted you to the Trump presidency, regardless of your political eyes, is that he's pledged that he would do everything possible to get things done. I mean, we have to all understand he's working within a system. Dan can explain it further. That has made it very difficult to get things done. Ask Barack Obama. He was very popular, could only get one piece of legislation done in 8 years, and lost the houses in the Senate. So this, again, I think, let me go back to Matt. Matt, for you, I've seen this as kind of the maturing of the Trump presidency. We're starting to get, in this first now leading towards a year, the way that this president will legislate, attempt to legislate, work with Congress to get legislation to his desk, will not be business as usual.
Right. Republican leadership has failed us. Democrat leadership has failed us. And this is true leadership to me.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, Matt, and I appreciate your phone call. And you're coming from one of those states that is very important because you were one of those traditionally blue states in presidential elections that went for President Trump. We don't have time probably for another call in this segment.
No,
but we can. We're going to keep taking your phone calls. We got a couple lines open: 1-800-684-3110 and comments.
Here's a good comment from Tim as we wrap up this first half hour. Jay Sekulow Live says the Republicans would rather have nothing get done than have liberal policy implemented. It doesn't seem like they do. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're not going to have liberal policy implemented because they don't have.
They
to
still
allow
have control.
That to go
right.
They have control. So anything that moves forward has to have Republican support from the leadership. So I think that fear that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are suddenly going to be able to take over Congress, that is not the case. They are not going to get everything they want or most of what they want. They may get a little something because the president is willing to work with them to get some Democrat support so some legislation actually gets to his desk so he does not have to govern by executive order and executive actions and agency rules the way that President Obama did, which is showing to be how it fails people later on when they start relying on things like executive orders and executive actions, like DACA, and then suddenly it gets taken away, as we told people throughout the time, that's what happens. We got a second half hour coming
that's
up.
Right.
Logan, tell people, we got one line open, 1-800-684-3110 to take phone calls. Right. We're going to get into North Korea later on in the broadcast as well, because we have not updated you there enough, and a lot of action there. And I'm telling you, folks, that is taking up a lot more national security time. Than can attest to this as well. Then is being reported in the news because of the hurricanes.
For sure.
So we'll talk about that as well. But Logan, tell people about our online ways to get involved.
That's right. Find us broadcasting live for the rest of the show. If you don't get us on ACLJ.org, Facebook, Periscope, the ACLJ app, the JSecular Live podcast, and follow us on social media.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
folks, we have got a lot to talk about in our second half hour of the broadcast. We appreciate you joining us, whether you are listening through terrestrial radio, satellite radio, on Facebook and watching us as well, and on Periscope watching us as well. Our dad traveling today and tomorrow, but we're going to be bringing you all the news, and we're also getting into a discussion today about the news that broke from President Trump's meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Here's a soundbite from Chuck Schumer on the floor. It was a hot mic situation. Take a listen to this.
Here's what I told him. I said, Mr. President, you're much better off if you can sometimes step right and sometimes step left. If you have to step just in one direction, you're boxed. He gets that. Oh, it's going to work out, and it'll make us more productive, too.
And see, you understand what Chuck Schumer's really saying there. He's trying to use that. Now, you could hear it and say, oh, this president's willing to go left. I hear it and say this Chuck Schumer is willing to go right. Than, is that how you listen to that bite? Because, I mean, I hear at the end he said, we're always going to work. This was a hot mic, so he was not making a speech, didn't know this was going to be out there. But he says, it makes us more productive, too. We're always going to work it out. To me, that means this is a Democrat who understands that his party has been hit very hard by not getting anything done. Not even having plans to get things done is one of the big criticisms of Hillary Clinton, kind of tone deaf to the American people. So they want to be part of some of this. They're willing to go a little right because they want to be part of the tax cuts. They want to be part of DACA getting done. They don't want it to be 100% Republican. And, hey, that's fine. That's how you get better legislation through with more bipartisan support. Bigger changes come through that.
Jordan, what I heard when you played that was a liberal version of what you heard from the president today. I heard Chuck Schumer saying, look, we're going to have a package that is going to include some of what the president wants, which is border security and the wall. You heard the president say that today. And some of the things that we've been after, and I would just suggest the things that he's been after, you know, a solution on DACA and others illegally present. I will wager that if a package comes together, that will not be just something that Chuck Schumer wants. I will wager it will be something that a majority of Republicans will support as well. So I agree with you. I heard him say something very similar to what the president said, just with maybe a liberal spin on it.
Yeah, he's trying to spin it to his party's members. I understand that. That's his job as a leader. But again, it's the idea that Democrats want victories. But these would be American victories. And ultimately, who is the victorious person in these situations? The president of the United States when he signs this into law. But it sends a clear, strong message. If you cut taxes and have Chuck Schumer standing next to you, if you are able to get through DACA through and you've got Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan next to you, and maybe even more conservative members of Congress as well. So I want to take people's thoughts on this. Let's take one before the next break.
All right, let's do it quickly. Let's go to Guadalupe, who's calling from Los Angeles, California, online too. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, thank you. So I've never heard your show before. I was just flipping through channels.
Great.
And you guys came on. I'm not sure if this is a liberal show or not. Okay. It doesn't sound like it through the commercials. But
no.
My, anyways, when I call in, if you can just let me finish so I can make the point.
Guadalupe, no offense to you. We're running out of time, though, so just quickly.
Okay. We're a Mexican-American in L.A., My family's been here for many, many years.
Yep.
And we voted for Trump overwhelmingly. And we feel the DACA program is amnesty, what he's trying to do. And we don't agree with that. These people came in here illegally. Okay.
I get what you're saying and why it may be upsetting to people who went through the process. Here's our issue, though, with the individuals, the limited class. If you're talking amnesty, you're talking more about the 12 million people here illegally. We have not even gotten to addressing that yet. And even that, deporting all of them is not going to be easy. Deporting the bad people, fine. But deporting all 12 million would be difficult. But we're not there yet. We're talking about a limited class of about 800,000 people, Guadalupe, who were brought here when they were kids. So they didn't commit the illegal act. Their parents did. It doesn't give their parents a pathway to citizenship or lawful permanent residence. It would, and this is, again, the idea of this, it would give them lawful permanent residence, maybe not ever citizenship, but they've had no other country. They don't have another country to go to. They don't necessarily even speak the language of those other countries. So I think it's not amnesty. And you supported the president. I'd say understand, listen closely to what he's saying about this, and don't just take it from a hardline position of those who are doing this for their own political purposes. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, folks, if you're holding to talk to us on the air, and there are a couple lines open, this is a great time to call for the next segment of the broadcast so you get in the queue, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. We will get back in the final segment, taking phone calls, you know, taking all of the calls that we can, about the president's decision to bring in Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and start talking about these bigger reform issues like tax cuts for the middle class and corporate tax cut tax cuts as well, and the 15%, and as well as the DACA issue, border security, and again, I want to get back to that, but I do not want to ignore international news. We try to always keep you updated on that on this broadcast, especially when it's not getting as much coverage as it should, maybe in the news of the day because of what's happening currently and domestically in our own country. So let me go first to Than Bennett, because Than, I wanted you to tell people just what you're hearing in Washington, D.C. about how serious South Korean diplomats are taking the threat from North Korea and the potential for conflict.
You've had this conversation many times with Wes and Skip and others, Jordan. The fact that if there's any action taken on North Korea, there is an immediate and very dramatic impact on South Korea. So one of the dynamics that you look for to see how seriously the region is taking this threat and how imminent action might be is what are those in the know in South Korea doing? And what we're starting to see here in Washington, D.C. is that those in the know in South Korea, Jordan, they're starting to move their families out. So does that mean that action is imminent? Does it mean it's days or weeks away? No, it does not. But it does tell you that the people who are aware of North Korea's actions, who are aware of the conversations that South Korea is having with the United States, are very well aware that an action is much more likely than it has been in the past. Jordan, we had not seen dramatic movement in the past months. We are starting to see that now. That's a sign that movement or action is at least dramatically more likely than it was just a few weeks ago.
Let me bring in retired colonel from the U.S. Army, Wes Smith, from our national security and military team, policy team, because Wes, as you just heard from Than, I mean, he's just picking this up being in Washington, D.C., these diplomatic families, South Koreans who are saying, and they don't usually bring their whole families to the U.S. who are. Give people the update on what's going on with North Korea, because a lot has happened over these last week and a half when most of the coverage has been, rightfully so, it's happening in our own country on the hurricane efforts and recovery. But I will tell people, I can't get into it in more detail, but I will say that this is dominating much of the behind-the-scenes discussion in Washington, D.C., the threat from North Korea.
Right, and the events are occurring virtually every day. For example, today, North Korea threatened once again to use nuclear weapons against the United States and against Japan. And the backdrop for this latest threat, Jordan, is that Officials believe that sometime in the next few days, they will actually test their seventh nuclear device. And Japan's military officials are reporting that one of their massive launch pads is being moved into position, and that they're going to also fire another ICBM, the Hwasong-14, which has a range of 6,200 miles, okay, which means that it could reach any part of the United States. And so while we believe that their threats are somewhat hollow, we don't know that for sure. The most alarming thing about the developments over the last couple of weeks, though, Jordan, is that our last best hope against military action was the implementation of sanctions. And this past week, for the second time, the United Nations Security Council voted unanimously for sanctions, but they were so watered down that they are meaningless. For example, the initial proposal by the U.S. last week was that we cut off all oil and gasoline imports to North Korea.
Yeah, very tough policy. Very tough. Very tough.
That for the first time, and this is somewhat shocking for those who don't follow this, for the first time, the U.S. suggested that we target Kim Jong-un financially, his assets, because he's extremely wealthy. We've not even done that yet. And that we also mandate that United Nations member states have to inspect ships going to and from North Korea in order to make sure they're not carrying contraband. Yep. All of that was watered down and essentially knocked down because of the threat of a veto by China and Russia, so that in place of a full ban on oil imports, the new draft ban, it bans oil, condensates, and natural gas, but it imposes a cap of 2 million barrels a year on gasoline. It keeps crude oil imports at their present level. Huh. And China, suspecting that this might happen over the last several months, they have increased exponentially their sales of gasoline to North Korea.
So the current level is higher than
they
it's ever
have
been.
A reserve like they have never had before. So in effect, Jordan, these sanctions are so watered down, they are meaningless. And the hope for sanctions was our last best hope against military action, so that we truly are back to that place of a bilateral choice, that we either allow them to continue their nuclear and ICBM program, or we take military action. And none of those choices are good. And I think both of them could have been avoided if the United Nations and the international community had really put strict sanctions on North Korea and truly isolated them financially and culturally and diplomatically.
And so the Chinese and the Russians have calculated that they can allow this to move forward and that the U.S. and its allies probably would not do anything. What is worrying to me, Wes, is that in the past, the rockets didn't work. The device, they could always explode these underground nuclear devices.
Right.
They had that capability, but they never have really shown that they had any deliverable mechanism. Unless they flew it over a little plane and dropped it on you in the kind of the old school way, mm-hmm. that using an ICBM, they didn't work. You know, those rockets always fell off, blew up while they were being launched, or blew up way before they were supposed to. And now they've had some success. If they continue to have, like if they test another ICBM, do you see the U.S. and its allies potentially getting, going for the shoot down of that? Because it seems like they're becoming, they'll all be successful, but a lot more successful in utilizing that technology.
Yeah.
Probably because of Iran.
Right. Iran and China both. We collect missile debris every time their missiles crash into the ocean. And in every collection of missile debris that the United States has obtained, there are Chinese parts in the missile.
I mean, just underscore that.
Yeah.
So these missiles are coming right out of Chinese technology.
Sure, and Iran.
And we know that they have the capability. They've got ICBMs. Iran does not have the nuclear material, but they've got the missiles that work, and they have a much better scientific program.
Well, they
China
have cash.
China certainly does.
They
have money.
And so they are paying North Korea for technology. So, yeah, I mean, it's down to the wire where this is so serious. I think at some point rhetoric is going to have to be replaced by action on the part of the United States, or we allow them to simply become a nuclear power even greater than they are now. And I think you're right, Jordan. One of the possibilities, and we have the technology, we have land-based missile interceptors that can take down ICBMs. We have ship and land-based interceptors that can take down medium and short-range ICBMs. I think we're either going to have to shoot down the missiles to send a clear message, or we are going to see this crisis even get worse.
Yes, I mean, the rhetoric about, you know, obliterating the U.S. and sinking the island of Japan, that can only go so far. You know, if a country doesn't have anything to back it up, then it's just the talk of a crazy man. But if they have anything to back that up, and it is a people who are, not even use the word crazy, irrational, who believe they are God, if you're dealing with someone like that, dealing with these Hitler-esque people who are almost potentially suicidal, but in their minds they're not acting suicidal, they're acting as if the way they should be. If they have any way to back that kind of language up, you know, it's kind of like Iran chanting death to America, death to Israel before they have the technology to actually do that is one thing. When they have, if they do, which we believe under the current these nuclear deals that they might, if they do, that language becomes suddenly very different when they could actually act on that chant and act on those threats. North Korea seems like they're much closer to being able to at least act on whether they could actually accomplish their goal. No, but act on their goal and really inflict a lot of military. Casualties, and potentially Americans, our allies as well. But Than, is Washington, is it, because, you know, I can't divulge everything, but, and I know you can't either, but on this issue, is this the behind doors issue that is dominating still in D.C.? It's not, you know, I know we talk about taxes, we talk about healthcare, but is this what is keeping people up at night?
Yes, the answer is yes. And the classified hearings that are happening behind closed doors are mainly about this. And I would just say this, and Wes can probably speak to this even more, but the thing that the commander-in-chief has that we don't have and we shouldn't have, Jordan, is firm data on how confident we are that we could shoot down an ICBM at the various stages of flight. And I think the thing that he has that he's going to have to make a very serious decision on is there a point during that flight, maybe it's when it's on descent or wherever it may be in that point, where your confidence level of being able to intercept it, you know, hitting a bullet with a bullet, when it goes down, Jordan, he will have an obligation to intervene before you hit that level. None of us knows when that level is, but I think Wes would tell you that he probably has very sound intelligence on when we hit that point, and I think he would act before we got to that point, whichever it was. But I will tell you, yes, to answer your question, in D.C., this is the top-level conversation behind closed doors.
And Wes, just for people, too, as we kind of update them on this, in that technology, which people a lot of times say, why don't we just shoot these down? We have it. It's more complicated than we think. It has been successful, but not always.
Right.
So if you failed in this technology-wise, it kind of says we don't have protection. So you don't. It's a balance of using it.
Yes, and you want to make sure that when you use it, you succeed. Yep. And if we fail, it also gives our enemies information about why we failed as well.
Right, and they can then repeat the same pattern over. So we're going to continue to update you on this, folks. We're not going to let these issues get buried away because we're telling you this is what is keeping people up at night. Your leaders in the United States of America, it's just not getting the same news coverage right now. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live to take your phone calls and comments.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. In the final segment today, we get to your comments. I appreciate people have been holding on. We wanted to give that update on North Korea from Wes Smith and get the insight from Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. But I want to take your phone calls, set the stage again. We're discussing president's willingness to meet with, I mean, listen, it shouldn't be that controversial to meet with people who are just in a different party in the United States of America. But I get people's concerns about Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Now, if they were the leaders of the House and Senate, I'd be a lot more concerned because they would be the ones that get to make decisions about what legislation moves and doesn't. But they're not. That is still up to Republicans. So no legislation will move without Republicans deciding to let it move. Let me make that very clear. I mean, so, and the president has said this morning, we will have that wall. We must have it. Let me, again, back to the phones. I want to start taking people's calls, Logan. Let's just start with those who've been on the line.
Yeah, Raj, we'll hold 47 minutes. Thanks a lot. You're on the air in Virginia.
Thanks, Raj.
Thank you for this opportunity of sharing from my heart how I not just feel but think about all these things, because I've looked at these over a number of years. And it is just amazing that with 80 to 85% of the people supporting what the president had outlined in his campaign, what the platform for the Republican Party stands for, that the leadership of the House and the Senate, which has almost a single-digit approval rating among the people, have gone on to do this thing. And, oh, they call it bipartisan this, bipartisan that. No, it is a sellout. And I believe that Harry Reid had the works on Mitch McConnell. They've got the dirt on these leaders, and they're twisting them. Why did Mitch McConnell do Harry Reid's bidding all the time?
Well, I mean, Harry Reid is no longer in the leadership. He's no longer there. So we're dealing with a new group, a tougher group, in my opinion. Harry Reid was a pretty tough guy, much tougher than he let to be the way he sounded, and kind of sounded like a grandpa, but he acted like a tyrant behind closed doors. And I guess that was his job. So he did a pretty effective job for his party in the role that he had. But I just want to be clear. I place the blame. I think President Trump gave Republicans their easiest task to show him that they could actually govern, and that he should work primarily with them. And if they can pull some Democrats in, that's wonderful. So he went to Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. Not exactly the most too far right. These are not Freedom Caucus members, right? And so, and he even has Mitch McConnell's wife is in his cabinet. So, I mean, he has respect for these people as leaders in our country and their family and for the service they've done. But they have not been great at governing. When I mean governing, I mean actually getting legislation to the desk of a president and getting that signature of the president. Democrats weren't either, by the way, but they had Republicans standing in their way. So what you thought was, okay, now that Republicans have got a Republican president willing to sign this legislation, it should be pretty easy. So the president let them go on health care and the repeal of Obamacare. And guess what? They could not get it done. So when they couldn't get it done, you move on to tax reform. They weren't really getting that done either, Than. I mean, I didn't hear much coming from them. So I think the president said, I've got to kick this into gear to get something going. So I am going to at least sit down with people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, who may be able to bring in, in the Senate's case, a dozen or more votes. In the House case, 60, 70 votes on legislation. And I think that hot mic caught Chuck Schumer bite, where he's willing really to actually compromise for the first time in a long time. We'll see if it's for real. But again, I think the president was forced into this situation by Republican leadership not getting the job done on health care. It all goes back to that. For me,
I think it was a clear signal, Jordan, that he's not going to allow for a repeat of Obamacare. I mean, look, you're right. He did give Leader McConnell the ability to decide the course of action. I think the mistake that the Senate made was not just putting the repeal on the floor literally the first week that the president was in office. They chose not to do that, and they failed. And I think President Trump is saying, okay, I gave you a chance. I'm not going to give you the opportunity to fail again without my participation in the process. I'm going to bring more people into the room. Now, if they can deliver the votes, Jordan, if they can show up with 218 votes in the House and 50 in the United States Senate and they don't have to use any Democrats, guess what President Trump's going to do? He's going to sign that legislation, yep. But he's not going to take their word for it in the meantime because they failed the first time.
All right, let's go right back to the phones.
All right, let's do it again. Let's start in order. Let's go to Mike in California. About 35 minutes. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys doing? My comment was kind of one of the callers kind of hit on it earlier. I'm just very proud of the president and his humility and reaching across the aisle and being a true leader. But my concern is that the Democrats are going to it just seems to me like they're gonna run off of this, and the Republicans, I mean, should be ashamed of themselves. Where at risk is gonna be seats in Congress, you know, where it possibly will be losing, seats up in the House and the Senate.
Well, I think that, listen, we know in the House, Than, right now the House looks pretty good for Republicans through the next election cycle. The Senate is also looks pretty good for Republicans. Now, it's a slim majority, but it's because the Democrats who are up for re-election versus the Republicans who are up for re-election, the Democrats are in much tougher races. So maybe, yes, maybe if they, those Democrats, and by the way, let's say they all won, they would not switch the majority of the House from Republican to Democrat. It would just kind of keep things where it is. If they all won, Than, because they were actually able to get legislation through, that may be one thing. But ultimately here, the person who's going to get credit is not, it wouldn't be, like you said, unless it was just Republicans in the House and the Senate and the president would sign that and then every Republicans would get credit. It would ultimately be the president. It's his signature that makes any of this law ultimately.
It's really him that would be on the line, Jordan. And I would just quickly say, I know you got to go back to callers, but there's really only two Republican seats in the United States Senate, Jeff Flake and Dean Heller, that are even close to competitive. So worst-case scenario for Republicans in the Senate is probably a 50-50 split. And in that scenario, the vice president still casts the tie-breaking vote. If you can get all 50 votes, of course.
Yeah, let's try to get back to the calls. Hey, first line one, David in Washington. David, Indiana, you're next. David, Washington, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good day. I just would like to point out that the president's using a tactic that I heard the vicar of Baghdad express when he said you sit down across the table from your adversaries and have a meal with them, and reconciliation is more likely.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I think he's at that point. I think it's a good comment. Let's go to, and I appreciate you. Remember the vicar of Baghdad, our good friend. Let's go to David in Indiana, line five.
You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I appreciate what you guys do. One of the concerns that I have is I keep hearing people talk about that the Republicans are at fault here, when in reality there's only 8 of the Republicans that caused this whole thing to fall apart. And what in the world can we do to get those 8 Republicans out?
Well, and why it's do we leadership, though. You know, those 8 Republicans didn't fall in line because of the ineffective Republican leadership. So the blame is just not on them. A couple of them, by the way, they were consistent with how they voted all the time. But Than, the reason why you blame not every Republican, but Republican leaders, is because their job as leaders is to get those 6 of those 8 that they needed to fall in line, to listen to their leadership. And if you're not able to do that, you're not an effective leader.
The promise that all of these senators, maybe with the exception of Susan Collins, made to their voters, Jordan, was that they were going to repeal Obamacare. They did not promise they would vote to repeal Obamacare. They promised to repeal Obamacare. And I would say every single one of them failed to do that because it's still on the books.
All right, folks, tomorrow we'll get more into Jim Comey. We tease that for you again. He, under oath, once again, he said, I didn't make any decision until I interviewed Hillary Clinton. And we now know that that is not the case. Senate Judiciary Committee has said 3 months before the interview of Hillary Clinton, he already decided no prosecution, no criminal charges. So, again, another time under oath where he committed perjury. We're going to get more into that tomorrow as well. I appreciate this discussion today. See what this afternoon's news brings as well. Keep updated, Logan, ACLJ.org, Facebook, tell people.
That's right. Find us online, ACLJ.org, for everything. Subscribe to the JSecular podcast. Download the ACLJ app, available for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and find the ACLJ channel in the Roku channel store. You can find everything at ACLJ.org and follow us on social media.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.